Want to greet each of you in Jesus' name again this morning. Good to be in the house of God and to study the Word of God, to worship together with you. Also, welcome to each one and a special welcome to our visitors. The subject that I want to talk about this morning is the fruit of the Spirit. You can go to Galatians chapter 5. We studied about, in the Sunday school lesson, we studied about the Apostle Paul and talked about the need of evangelism, how we can do that, and how personal testimony. And the fruit of the Spirit is something that comes from a life that has been born again, a life that has been given over to the control of the Holy Spirit. We can't separate the new birth and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. I want to be sure that I cover that as we can't just this morning try to think about these fruits of the Spirit and try to, in our own strength and our own way, take on these things, but let it be the reason, because of being born again and the control of the Holy Spirit in our life. I'd like to read Galatians 5, beginning at verse 13, and I'll just read to the end of the chapter there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Now this passage, I think, shows us that there is a conflict. And we know it. We can understand it ourselves. There is a conflict between the kingdom of darkness and between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we face that. We face it in our own life. We face the struggle in our own lives between those two kingdoms. and it needs to be our lives need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit through the work of the new birth, as we allow God's plan of salvation to take its control in our life, be cleansed from sin and the indwelling of the Spirit. It takes a surrender to do that. He talks about the fruit here. We're going to be going over them a little later on and talking about them. But these are real fruits. They're not something that is we're not able to attain. We're not able to in our own strength, but as we allow the work of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can. We can attain to these things. We still have the flesh that struggles the other direction, but as we let the Holy Spirit take control, then we can attain these things. And also thinking about the fruit, these fruits are not just self-control of the expressions of the flesh. He lists quite a few things here that are the works of the flesh. Just suppressing the flesh and controlling that is not what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's actually totally on the other spectrum. And man, in his own strength, can somewhat try to do that, suppress the the natural tendencies that he has, and he can make himself a better person that way. But that the fruit of the Spirit is way beyond that. It's something that springs from a life that is turned over to God, has the peace of God in it, and understands that God is in control. Well, I don't know if you're, I'm sure we're all human, but I know for myself that the fruit of the Spirit doesn't always come out of my life like it should, and that's not because of a lack on God's part, but it's because of my own flesh and letting it get in the way. And we need to make that right when that goes on. Make sure we repent of those things, straighten it up with those that were involved. He talks about it in the verses here. He talks about love in verse 14. Says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." The lack of love is the first fruit that he mentions here is love, and it seems like that is something that surrounds all the rest of them, I believe. But if we lack that, we will definitely be in the works of the flesh kingdom. In John 3, verse 3, and then also in verse 5, I think I'll just read those verses. John chapter 3. Verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in verse 5, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we have to be born again. And it says to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the natural birth that we experienced was something that brought forth the works of the flesh. And it's all the better it can do. Of course, Nicodemus here was confused, and he didn't understand about the new birth. But if there was a way to be physically reborn again this morning, we still would produce the works of the flesh. It has to be a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual birth to produce and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We already talked about the thing of suppressing our nature, our own carnal desires, and the things that come from our life. And I'm sure that there are varying degrees, differences among us in personalities and what we struggle with. But the Bible talks about the things that man does to try to gain favor with God. It calls them filthy rags. And that's what, as we try to do it in our own strength, let's understand that it's not because of my own control or your own control that you can live by the fruit of the Spirit. It's because of the control of God. And of course, we're interested this morning as God's people, interested in the Spirit-filled life, a life that God controls and the fruits that come out of that. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says that, "In whom ye also are builded together in habitation of God through the Spirit." Thinking about God dwelling within us, we're a habitation of God, and the testimony that is how God wants to come down and dwell, and he does that through his Spirit. And as we think about the greatness of God, you think about how great God is and how powerful he is, and certainly if he's living within us, then it ought to be different than if he's not living within us. So that's the power that we have, and God is interested in our life, and he wants to come and dwell within us. John 3, verse 8 says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." The effects are there. We heard a lot about wind this past week, and we saw a little. And you couldn't see it, but you definitely could see the effects of it. Glad we didn't have any more. But we need more of the effects of the Spirit in our life. We need it to control us. It is important that we have the proper control in our life. It does matter this morning who controls your life. In Matthew chapter 7, we'll read some verses there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 7:16 says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So it is important this morning that we are fruit inspectors, and the mirror should be used. The mirror of God's word should be used and practiced on our lives. It's so easy to take the mirror away and look outward to others, but let's make sure we use the mirror and use it on our own life, because God is concerned about fruit bearing this morning. He is concerned, and he does look at the life. Okay, just some things that, before we look at the fruit individually, just some things that we need to do so that we can be fruitful. We already talked about the new birth, but going on from there, Psalm 1, first three verses, Psalm 1. Says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I have for that we must be planted in the right place. This morning is a good time as we fellowship together to be encouraged in fruit bearing. It's a good place to be planted this morning, is in the house of God, where we can be encouraged and see the fruit of the Spirit in others and take example of that. Also Psalm 92:13-14 says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." So it is important that our roots are in the right place, that we're planted there, and that we gain nourishment from the Word of God. Second one I have is prepare our hearts, Matthew chapter 13. There is something for us to do. This is talking about the sower here, how the seed was sown. But there was a condition of the soil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 says, "But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." Also verse 23 says, "And he that received good seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So the prepared soil was the one that brought forth fruit. And our hearts need to be prepared. The soil of our hearts needs to be ready to receive the Word of God before we can expect the Spirit to work there and to control there. Number three, we are required to be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we need to have diligence in our life. It is not something that God is going to pour on a half-hearted person. The work of the Spirit in our life is something that controls a person that is diligent. And we need to make sure that we are diligent in allowing him. If we're not diligent, there will be things that we miss in our lives. Number four, submission to the work of God in our hearts. Go to John chapter 15. I guess another way to say it would be the submission to the chastening of the Lord. John chapter 15, I'll read the first three verses. Jesus is speaking here. He said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Also in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says, Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, that afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. But as we understand God's work and allow him to cut and prune, even though it's painful, he's doing it out of a heart of love because he wants more fruit out of our life. And I'm sure that if we take an honest look at ourselves, we can look and see that God knows what he's doing when he prunes. And it does hurt, but it is for our good. The next one I have is remember that true life comes from above, James 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Life, this fruit, comes from above. It's a result of God's work in our hearts. Also, John, back in John 15 again. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without me ye can do nothing, Jesus said. Okay, now going to the individual fruits themselves in Galatians chapter 5 again. The first one we have there is love, and we talked about that some already. Jesus said, and when he was asked what was the first commandment of all, he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he goes on, the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So love is a sort of a overriding, I believe, a sort of an overriding fruit that all the rest of them fall under. We can't have hate in our heart and experience the rest of the fruit there. So and all these tie together. I don't think any of them can be left out. But it does seem like love relates to all of them. Romans 13 verse 10 says, Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. They're again bringing out the importance of love. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 talks about charity being the bond of perfectness. So as we grow in our love for each other through the work of the Spirit in our life, let's make sure that we do have love. And it does good to sit back and think about how others feel about the way I respond, and thinking about others' reactions and how they affect me, then it's good for me to reflect on my own life and how I respond to the hard things that come or to the challenges that are given to me. Certainly we need a lot of the fruit of love in our life. The next two is joy and peace. I have them together. I think we would say that joy and peace are a result of the Christian life. They're something that the normal Christian should experience. I'm sure there's times when We need refreshment in this area. But it is something that comes from having our sins taken care of, having the needs of our lives met in the work of Jesus. Romans 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Also, Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Both of those verses mention the Holy Ghost, and they mention peace and joy. We need to have that in our life. Some of the definitions that come from joy is a cheerfulness. Another one that I think explains it fairly well is a calm delight. It's not the high spikes on the scale. It's a calmness, a steady delight, a fullness, and something that is lasting. We have many options today of having a good time. And if a good time is given in a godly way, that's one thing. But these go beyond the hour or the 30 minutes of extra special time. This joy that comes from the Holy Ghost is something that's way beyond those short times. It's something that should show in our life, and should it be, we should be willing to give a testimony of it too, the joy that comes. And it's only because of God's work in our heart. These fruits that come from the work of the Holy Spirit are a result of God working in our heart. It's no glory goes to ourself. The definition of peace is quietness, rest, and set at one again. In other words, there are things made right. If there was nothing wrong, then we wouldn't need it. But there was something wrong. We were estranged from God, but now we're set at one again. And we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The relationship can be clear with God and with man. And that's where joy and peace come from. And if you think about the peace and joy that come in our lives, how man was made in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, and God designed him, I think even physically we're designed to live with peace and joy in our lives. The turmoil that comes from sinful living is even hard on a person physically. And it's just interesting that God made us that way, that we function best when peace and joy are in our hearts. And it's the lasting, the deep joy and the deep peace that we can experience through His work. Okay, the next ones I have here are listed together as long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. I think these fruits here, we would say, relate more to how we relate to others. The first one was love, that is relating to others. The next two is joy and peace, that was somewhat within. Now these here have to do with how we relate to those around us. I just have some definitions here. That go along with these words. Long-suffering, I think that word fairly much is self-explanatory, but forbearance would be another word, or patience. Certainly we need a lot of long-suffering as we relate to each other. And we have opportunities, I believe, to exercise that. And maybe not so much in the brotherhood as it is when in workplaces and everyday life. It's so easy for things to get under us and grind us the wrong way. Of course, we want to make sure we look at the perfect example that we had, the example of Jesus, how he was long-suffering. He didn't answer back. Things were very unfair for him, yet he was long-suffering. And how long is long-suffering? Well, it doesn't really, long-suffering doesn't give a limit to that suffering word there. It just as long as it needs to be. Gentleness, I think that's easy for us to understand. A good, kind person. One that is not riled up easily. Goodness is the simple thing of being good to each other, and kindness in actions. Faith gives a thought of integrity in this setting. We need to have faith in God, but I believe this is relating to others. The integrity that we show and the trust that we have in others. Meekness would go along with gentleness. And also meekness, I think, would another thing about meekness would be humility. Certainly God wants humility in our lives, and we know that God hates pride, and He wants us to be humble. Let's make sure that we have these as we relate to each other, and be willing to be long-suffering, to show you trust your brother, the goodness and faith that you have in them, and the humility of being willing to accept differences and correction ourselves. The last one then is temperance. I think this looks inward again, temperance, or maybe we could say self-control. And this would say that our desires are where God wants them to be. I think, and it goes beyond, the temperance of life goes beyond just the things that are bad. We can use many things. The Bible has much to say about wealth. Has a lot to say about good things that we need to put under the control of Jesus Christ. Certainly we could have love and joy and peace, forbearance, all those things, but yet if we're not a temperate person, if we don't, that would hinder those other fruits from growing. Well, I think that as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, all these things that are here in verse 25 and 22 and 23 there, isn't the church a place where those kind of fruits can grow? It's a place where we need to practice it. Yes, there is times to practice that the fruits of the Spirit need to be exercised, maybe especially. But I think as we think about brotherhood relations, I think it's also a good seedbed for these kinds of fruit. A good place where the good can be brought out in each other. There's a verse in Proverbs that talks about the wounds of a friend being valuable. Not that we want to wound anybody, but as we relate to each other in church life, the value that we can get from that is something that we can grow in. Of course, we read those verses about the seed, how Jesus sowed the seed, and some of it brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And we heard in devotions this morning about the parable of the talents, how God gave more to some than to others. And I think we need to understand that as we look at our own life and at others, that we are gracious and that we make sure that we are allowing for growth. Obviously, when someone is not producing the fruit of the Spirit, there is a problem, but there is differences in maturity, and we need to give room for that. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So we all need to grow, and we need to have patience with each other. I think there's a lot of difference between someone that is growing in grace and someone that is rebelling against the Spirit of God. We talked about the necessity of being connected to the vine. We think about fruit bearing. Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And it's important that we are connected to Jesus Christ have the Spirit of God dwelling within. Well, this was the fruit of the Spirit, and he mentions here, and we read the verses there about the works of the flesh. I just want to look at a little bit at the end of those things. The last part of verse 21 there says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's where the works of the flesh will end up. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 22:15 says, "For without are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." So the works of the flesh will be outside the kingdom of God. Well, looking at the end of the fruit of the Spirit, it says, "Against such there is no law." Another verse in Romans chapter 1, first two verses says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So we can see it is important in this life that we exercise through the power of the Holy Ghost, that we exercise the fruit of the Spirit. But it's more important than just this life. It goes beyond, because the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God, and the fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit will. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Also verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So let's have the fruit of the Spirit growing in our hearts and lives today, and then we can look forward to the time when we can be there where that tree yields 12 manners of fruit, and we can have the right to partake of that fruit if we allow God to work in our hearts and lives now. Let's kneel for prayer.